morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We are talking some Packers football this morning. It's tailgate tour week. That's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. We'll be talking about that and anything else you want to talk about this morning. Yep, yesterday the big news, well, I suppose the biggest news is Donald Driver advancing to the Dancing with the Stars finals. Avoided elimination yesterday on Tuesday night's episode of ABC's Dancing with the Stars. Because he avoided elimination, it means he moves on to the finals. Maria Menounos getting kicked off the show. So, yep, Donald Driver will be competing next week for the Mirror Ball. Isn't that what they call it? The Mirror Ball Trophy? How does that compare with the Vince Lombardi Trophy? Is it as prestigious? I'm just joking. But yeah, Donald Driver moving on. That's the big news. But, you know, as far as football goes, the Packers kicked off their annual tailgate tour yesterday. And as they shoved off, as it were, from Green Bay on Tuesday morning, as they left to visit La Crosse, Wisconsin, where the first stop of the tour, the first big event, was held Tuesday night. But as they shoved off, they talked to the local media in Green Bay. And in kind of an event that, or, you know, a topic of conversation that kind of dovetails with Donald Driver and Dancing with the Stars, Jordy Nelson, wide receiver Jordy Nelson, is one of the players on this year's tailgate tour. There's only three current players, Jordy Nelson, Mason Crosby, Charlie Peppra, so they're kind of the stars of the show. But Jordy Nelson talked to the local media before the Packers left on Tuesday. And, of course, he was asked about Donald Driver. You know, not just Donald Driver on Dancing with the Stars, but, you know, kind of this topic of conversation is, will Donald Driver be back with the Packers next season in 2012? There's all this speculation running about that the Packers have younger wide receivers on the team. You know, Donald Driver's getting over. He might not be worth keeping anymore. Whereas the Packers have Torrey Gurley, DeAndre Burrell, these guys on the practice squad last year were receiving overtures, actually offers to join other NFL teams, but they decided to stay in Green Bay, stay in the practice squad nonetheless. So, you know, does Donald Driver have to make way for these guys? And on top of all that, Donald Driver has this, you know, relatively large contract, and the Packers could use perhaps some salary cap space, or at least that maybe Donald Driver doesn't deserve that high amount of money anymore. You know, probably at one point he did, but, you know, if he's the fifth or sixth best wide receiver on the team, you know, is he worth it anymore? So, you know, weighing all those facts, Jordy Nelson said he would love to see Donald Driver back. And one of the reasons I thought was rather telling was because of his veteran experience. Driver had, Jordy Nelson had talked about how the Packers lost already two veteran players this offseason, tackle Chad Clifton and safety Nick Collins. They were both released, basically for injury concerns, more or less. Chad Clifton, of course, getting up there in age as well, and he has contract concerns. But ended last season, injured. I mean, he came back toward the end of the season, but missed a good chunk of the season due to various injuries, hamstring and back. Nick Collins, of course, having the serious neck concussion, or, you know, neck condition, I guess it is, he had a vertebrae in his neck, basically, issues pertaining to that. And so the Packers had lost these players, and Jordy Nelson's think, wow, it would be a lot to, lose three veterans in one offseason. They've already lost two. So I thought that was kind of a unique perspective on the situation. One in which he's fighting for his fellow wide receiver, giving him a vote of confidence, giving Donald Driver a vote of confidence. So, an interesting debate, and we've talked about it many times on the show. And just to reiterate, I think the Packers should try to bring Donald Driver back, albeit for a lower contract. I think he should renegotiate, and I think Donald Driver should do that in good faith. But as long as he does that, I think the Packers should bring him back, to compete. I thought Donald Driver played very well last season. Not great. He's not in the peak or prime of his career anymore, but he can still get the job done, of course, as evidenced by his performance in the playoff game. Very good against the New York Giants, albeit against, perhaps a linebacker covering him, as has been, highly publicized. But still, I think Donald Driver still has work to this team, not only from a receiver standpoint, but from his veteran leadership, locker room perspective as well, and what he brings to those facets. So who knows what's going to happen? Again, nothing's going to happen anytime soon. The Packers certainly aren't going to cut him while he's still competing on Dancing with the Stars, and the public relations fallout that would come out of that. But regardless of that, Donald Driver's $1.5 million approximate roster bonus, at least to my knowledge, approximate, something around like the first day of training camp. So the Packers don't have to do anything with him before then. So, something to keep an eye on as the summer progresses regarding Donald Driver. But of course, that'll remain a topic all summer long until the contract is either actually renegotiated or, he's cut or released or whatever. So, but anyhow, other topics on the tailgate tour. And by the way, if you want to, be part of the conversation on this show, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. I'm not sure comments are being approved this morning on our live blog. But you tweet, they automatically show up. So tweet with the hashtags Railbird or CheeseheadTV, or use our handy dandy Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, and your comments will show up. Or feel free, call into the show, 347-352-0154. Phone lines are open. Another topic from the start of the tailgate tour is, all the players basically spoke to the media yesterday. Safety Charlie Peppra talking to the media and being asked about, his job security. There's been, speculation about Donald Driver returning. There's been a lot of speculation this offseason as well about Charlie Peppra. Will he or won't he be the starter? Because will or will not Charles Woodson move to a safety position? Or perhaps will rookie fourth-round draft choice Jaron McMillan be the savior and be a starter as a rookie in Green Bay? So there's these things to consider and think about, and, will they happen? And so Charlie Peppra was asked about this yesterday morning, and basically he says he views himself as the starter. He didn't elaborate a whole lot, but I mean, coming from Charlie Peppra, what else do you expect from him? I think everybody, almost without question, everybody is in accordance of how they view Charlie Peppra. First of all, just a fantastic guy. He's on the tailgate tour this week. They don't pick any rum bums to go on the tailgate tour. They pick guys who are going to represent the team well as they visit, a good portion of the state and are in front of some large crowds. So Charlie Peppra, great guy. nobody will forget the job he did, especially during the Super Bowl season, filling in for an injured Morgan Burnett, doing a very, very good job at strong safety. Way underrated. Terrific job and what he meant to that Super Bowl team. And you know, filling in last year as well, being part of a 15-1 team. But, of course, on the other side of things, Charlie Peppera has his limitations. I think everybody knows that. He is not an elite safety. He doesn't have elite athleticism. He'd probably be best serving the team in a backup role if he was the, fourth, fifth safety on the team. Maybe even the third, I guess. I shouldn't put him that low on the totem pole, perhaps. But filling a special teams role, and if he's got to fill in for a game or two, fine. But if you're relying on Charlie Peppera to be your starting safety for a whole season, I'm not sure that's in the best interests of the defense. Or if it is, you certainly have holes other than Charlie Peppera, and it's the talent position as a whole, needs to be improved, I would guess. PacBlink 182 comments on the live blog. Peppera will start the season. He won't finish it. And I would have to agree with that. I think that's the way things may perhaps play out. Unless Charles Woodson, makes the move to safety full time. I haven't seen any indication of that he will definitively do that. But, I think at some point Charlie Peppera will have to make way for a guy like Jerron McMillian or some of the guys, the holdovers from last year, young guys like M.D. Jennings, Anthony Levine. We'll see how they do. I mean, it's certainly way too early at this point to say those guys are ready to be starters in the NFL. But, Charlie Peppera, a great guy, and saying the only thing he really can or should that he expects to be the starter and is going to try his best to do so. And why would he say anything different? Maybe the coaches would say something different, but they weren't asked, and even so, they would probably say Charlie Peppera is the starter until somebody else grabs the bull by the horns and wins the position. So, but I mean, just interesting to debate at this point, what the future may hold at that position, given the struggles of the defense in general last year and the Packers secondary in particular, giving up so many passing yards. And no doubt about it, the pass rush played a role in that too. And that doesn't always fall on the shoulders of Charlie Peppera and the rest of the secondary. But, taken all together, the defense as a whole has to obviously perform better than it did last year if the Packers want to get back to the promised land, get back to winning more Super Bowls. And, we'll see if they do that. So, all these topics coming about because of the tailgate tour. And, it's a good time to talk about that. And, this is a great thing the Packers do every year. They do it for 5 days. And, I think originally it was like a 3 or 4 day thing. And now they've extended it to 5 tour dates. They tour across the state. What happens is, they start off in Green Bay, obviously. And yesterday they made all their way to, really almost the whole length of the state from the east coast of Wisconsin to the west coast, I guess, if you will, indulge me in that metaphor or whatever. So the culminating event yesterday is in La Crosse, and each day has a culminating event. Today it's in Madison, tomorrow in Kenosha, and Friday, Cedarburg, Grafton area, I think, and then on Saturday in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. But But anyhow, so, you know, big events at night, you actually buy a ticket to the event, and you can buy just a general admission ticket where you basically just watch and listen to a Q&A session. But there's $30 tickets, and the proceeds go to charity, and it includes food and autographs. So you do get a little bit for your money there when you dole out $30. But, so that's the highlights of the tour. Those are the points that get all the publicity. But the Packers make unscheduled stops on the tour, unpublicized stops, which are really great. And usually, almost every day, it includes like one stop at a school, high schools, elementary schools. They kind of divvy up between the two, and usually otherwise like a stop in a community somewhere, some sort of, it differs. And you know, just yesterday, to give you an example, they started off in Green Bay, went to Amroll, Wisconsin, kind of around the Oshkosh area, if you're not familiar with Wisconsin all that much. But they stop at Amroll High School, and totally unpublicized, like, as the story goes, the Packers, you know, say, we'll make a stop at your high school, but under one condition. You don't tell the kids we're coming. It's just kind of always a surprise for them. And they just go there and they kind of, you know, speak at like an assembly usually. But I mean, for all these players to show up, and, you know, I mentioned already Jordy Nelson, Charlie Peppra, Mason Crosby are on the tour. They're joined by some former Packers, all Packers Hall of Famers, Larry McCarron, Marco Rivera, William Henderson, and then Packers president Mark Murphy goes on the tour as well. And they just tour the stand. It's a goodwill tour. And, it's really a great thing. And so they do these things like these unpublicized stops at high schools. And then from there, they continued their way west towards La Crosse. But before they get there, they stopped at the Toma VA, Veterans Medical Center in Toma, Wisconsin. And you know, just talk to the people there, whether it's the people who work there or the patients there, the veterans. And you know, just stopping there to say hi, brighten their day a little bit, and you know, that's what they do in this tailgate tour. So like every day, it's that. Today they ended yesterday in La Crosse. Today they'll be making their way to Madison, Wisconsin, and along the way, they'll probably stop at a school somewhere, and then somewhere else in the community. And again, we don't know until after these things happen, because the Packers like to keep it a surprise, and I think that's really cool. So, that's what the tailgate tour is all about. And by the way, I'll be headed to the tailgate tour in Madison this evening, hopefully given the scoop on what's happening along the tailgate tour. So look for our coverage here at Cheesehead TV later this evening and tomorrow, as hopefully I get some stories to write about, or maybe one at least. I don't really know what to expect or how much access you actually get to the players as a member of the media, so I'm playing it by ear, but definitely I'll have something on the tailgate tour and its Madison stop this evening, as they stop in Madison, Wisconsin, kind of nearest where I live. I'm, you know, stationed in Beaver Dam, but Madison's the closest tour stop. But, you know, like I said, they go on from there, Kenosha, Milwaukee area, Sturgeon Bay, and finally go back home to Green Bay. But that's the big news this week for the Packers, the biggest thing that's going on. You know, the rest of the team continues their off-season training program in Green Bay. They're still in, you know, what they call phase two of their off-season training program. Individual position workouts. Players kind of work with their position closely. They don't really do any team stuff yet. But next week, it starts. Next week, OTA start. Phase three, what the NFL calls phase three of the off-season program, in which they go from individual work here in phase two to phase three, which does include team stuff. They wear helmets, and they can compete against each other, like, you know, defensive backs guarding wide receivers, things like along those lines. But no contact, though. They're not hitting each other. But doesn't include team stuff, does include competition, and the Packers will start holding practices open to the public one a week for the next 3 weeks, perhaps even the next 4 weeks as they continue on after that, and with mini camp and that's something to look forward to next week as the public can actually see these guys competing. And you know, last week was rookie orientation camp. This week, next week then with OTAs, the rookies join the rest of the team. So exciting to see where these rookies are fitting in and how they're being used and where they are in the depth chart or where they are in the pecking order and how much they stick out, how much they shine. All those things, exciting to watch. So get into that time of year here where they are, things are starting to really get ramped up and you start seeing them compete. And it's always at this time of year where, stories will be written about players, standing out and they're really surprising people, perhaps. I remember one of the big stories, the last time the Packers had an off-season program 2 years ago in 2010, didn't happen last year at all just because of the NFL lockout. So there were no stories about practices, things like that during the off-season. But, the last time the Packers had one 2 years ago, it was all about how Morgan Burnett did so well during OTAs, things like that, that he basically became a starter because he just stepped in right away and kind of showed, wow, he's really talented and could be a starter. There's that to look forward to. Maybe who's the next Morgan Burnett here? Who's the rookie who's really going to shine and step in? And, of course, I think everybody hopes Nick Perry, the first-round draft choice, will definitely be one of the stars of the show. That's why the Packers spent a first-round draft choice on him, or you hope that's why they did. And going to be an unquestioned starter, a three-down player for the Packers, Nick Perry. He probably isn't the type who's going to come off the field on passing downs, on third downs. No, he's going to be playing first, second, and third down. Whereas the rest of the rookies, they're going to have to scratch and claw for playing time. Maybe the second rounder, the second guy the Packers took, Jarrell Worthy, he could be a three-down player as well. A guy who's on the field on first down to stop the run as well as third down to rush the passer, he's got to prove that. And all the rest of them as well. Casey Hayward, the cornerback, can he find time? The Packers, as poor as the Packers secondary did last year, Casey Hayward still has to prove he deserves playing time ahead of the likes of Tremont Williams, Sam Shields, Devon House. Going to be some major, major competition there to see who does get the playing time and where it comes at. And will Casey Hayward play the slot like many predict? That might be his best position where Charles Woodson plays now. So, who knows what's going to happen there? Who knows what's going to happen there? One other thing happening today, in fact, and the news will probably come out sometime this afternoon. Wednesday here is when the grievance against the NFL Players Union happens against the NFL. And this is in regards to the suspensions of all the players by the NFL for the New Orleans Saints bounty program. And how this impacts the Packers in particular, of course, is the newly signed free agent defensive lineman Tony Hargrove being suspended initially here by the NFL for the first 8 games of the regular season. Can still take part in the offseason, training camp, all those things. But when the regular season starts, he's got to sit out 8 games, be away from the team. And, this whole issue is very complicated. The NFL Players Union is filing a grievance because they don't believe that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has the right to suspend these players because these infractions happen, this bounty thing happened during the old collective bargaining agreement, things that happened in 2009, 2010, and, you know, things were different back then. I think, you know, appeals were heard by an arbitrator, not by the commissioner. So, first that's happening, and then if that doesn't happen, then there will be an appeal held by the commissioner. So, this whole convoluted, complicated thing going to go down today, and, you know, who knows? I mean, there could still be an appeal held after this. This isn't going to be resolved anytime soon, but the first step in the process takes place today with implications for Packers defensive lineman Tony Hargrove. And perhaps we're already giving this story perhaps more attention than it deserves. Well, I mean, I suppose not, because there's just not that many things to talk about here. But here in the off-season portion of the year, the NFL season. But I mean, you know, Tony Hargrove, if he is suspended, not going to play for 8 games, how much impact is he really going to have on the team? Do the Packers even really want to keep him around at the expense of, you know, giving rookies more playing time or less playing time, I would suppose, taking away from them? So there's that to consider as well and weigh when you're talking about Tony Hargrove. But, you know, as people have pointed out, and on the flip side, you know, all of a sudden, comes week 8 and Tony Hargrove's coming back and he's fresh and healthy because he hasn't had the grind of 8 weeks. He hasn't been, you know, been hitting and been hit and you name it and getting worn down. And all of a sudden, the Packers could bring him back, and here he's a fresh body, ready to make a big contribution. How this will all play out, again, your guess is as good as mine. We will see as the season begins and the season starts here. I mean, we're months away from that, many months, not just the start of the season, but 2 months in when Tony Hargrove, when he... is eligible to return, we'll say. It'll be interesting to see here if Hargrove speaks to the media next week during OTAs and they're open to the public and the media will be allowed to interview the players and things like that. Tony Hargrove really hasn't, you know, spoken to the media in front of he's done like individual interviews and released statements and things like that, I believe. But has not spoken in front of like a group of reporters. So, certainly there's going to be a lot of questions for him about the bounty program and, you know, his suspension and appeal and things like that coming from multiple reporters. And, you know, that can be intimidating for anyone. You can imagine when you got 10 reporters firing questions at you from every direction. So that's something that could happen next week if Tony Hargrove is made available and if he chooses to speak on the subject. So, I think it would be in his best interest if he did speak about it actually and just got it over with. You know, if there's one big major session where there's, you know, a dozen reporters around him, it's going to be a story for a day, but not going to be a whole lot of stories after that as far as, follow-ups are that concerned, unless other, you know, news comes down the pike that his appeal is denied or stuff like that. But we'll take that when we get to it. So, but that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers today. We're at 9:00. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. We'll be back for a Friday episode. First time in 3 weeks, I think, we'll be having an episode of Friday of Railbird Central. So make sure to come back then. Tune in. On behalf of Jamie Jors, our live blog director today, I'm Brian Caribou. Check our coverage all week long here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you with a song today called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go.